This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If I were you, and I felt blue, I'd listen to a show by two coy Jews. Need some advice? Just ask these guys, Jake and Amir Valbloom. If I were you, but I'm not you.
Topless pick for this thick dick makes the chicks... Why?
If you were me,
holy shit,
you probably get the dirty. So listen here closely. If I were you,
red light,
I'd listen to the dang best HeadGum crew, Jeff and Riley's review. Oh wait, I mean Nedma.
A Game Boy and his furry friend.
What a cute little chipmunk, eh?
Congratulations to Jake on his 1,000th golden mic.
You really earned this one, Josh. Good on you, mate.
If I were you and I felt blue, I'd listen to Jake and a Bear Schmoobloom. They give advice, whether they're wrong or right. Whether you're straight, bi, queer, or gay, they'll tell you it's okay. Don't kill yourself in a cafe. Here comes that Jedi. Let's play. If I were you, ass.
Holy shit, that was really impressive.
Welcome to If I Were You, an advice podcast. I'm
Amir. Brought the energy so high. It was at such a pitch. You can't.
Yeah.
With that lead in.
I forget who wrote it. Whatever.
Honor them by saying their name.
John or some shit.
No,
probably.
Don't say it's some shit. Probably. It's a popular name. So it's likely. But
all right, it was incredible. It was actually pretty close. His name is Jay from Australia.
Yes, very nice. I thought I heard that Aussie accent sneak in there a couple times.
That's right. He's a TV and news producer who's occasionally on screen, and this was an Avenue Q theme song submission. Jesus, what an amazing song he made for us.
All right, I was trying to figure out what kind of genre of music that was. So
yeah,
what would you call that? What genre of music is Avenue Q?
Broadway musical theater.
Like a play on children's musicals as well, though.
Yeah, like, it's like Puppet, Sesame Street, bombastic musical style.
I mean, that was really perfect. It makes me want to pitch a TV show where we kind of like do. We host this show, but it's like Crank Yaker style. We're puppets.
Oh, that's cool.
And there's like puppet reenactments.
Oh, that's cool. So instead of us, I just stick my hand up like a puppet's ass, and it's just like...
I think maybe at this point, maybe you wouldn't be involved. I think
because of the... I said yeah, I don't wanted to like
stick my hand up
my puppet's ass.
I feel like we have the library... And we don't necessarily need you anymore.
Well, you need someone who's talented with regards to fisting.
Yeah, we can use the
ass.
Old episodes. There's like 500 episodes, and you're gone.
I used to be funny.
Yeah, but now you're a little crass, and now you're just talking a lot about putting your hand in the puppet's ass. And I don't.
I'd like to fist Elmo if probable.
I feel like this doesn't help us in the room or the Zoom with the network execs on the day for all the marbles. I don't want you pitching by my side. Not like that.
Let me shout out this guy's Instagram.
Fine.
Chem Cage. K-E-M-C-A-G-E. Chem Cage.
Chem Cage. So cool name.
Throw him a follow. I'll follow him. He's earned it. He deserves it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll say that. I love following people from Australia. It's always a different time of like season there. So like when I'm cold and I see my friends on Australia and Instagram, I'm like, damn, it's 100 degrees there. You're going to the beach. That's awesome.
Shouldn't there be like in like when time zones, there's like a whole gradient. It's not like here it's noon and there it's midnight. So basically, like, when it's summer here and winter in Australia, there should be, like, a fucking country, like, I don't know, fucking Portugal or some shit where it's fall. You know what I mean? Like, I'm serious. Like, during Ecuadorian spring, it should be our summer. Like, they're just, like, 3 months ahead or behind. Or in fucking, I don't know, Bolivia or Ecuador
You made your point, so you don't have to keep on naming.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about a different country and season.
It's autumn in Estonia.
Yeah, but it's fall here. So it's the same season, but we call it something else.
But yeah, autumnal is a little bit... I feel like autumnal is kind of like the middle of it. You know, fall is like just the beginning. Fall has started. Yeah.
I guess it's like if you're on the equator, it should never vary. Like if you're above it, it gets really... long days, short nights, like Iceland. Mm-hmm. But if you're on the equator, shouldn't it always be like 12-hour days, 12-hour nights, and the same temperature?
I think it is.
Okay, no further questions. Welcome to If I Were You, it's a geography podcast. We sort of wax about Ecuador.
We should have that puppet show. We should have a children's puppet show where we tell people that it should be fucking spring in Bangkok, okay?
Yeah, Thailand specifically. And then it's, I don't know, summer in, did you already say Estonia?
Yeah, I did. I said Estonia.
Yeah,
we're out of countries that we know, just like that. But that's still fine. We'll teach kids about latitude, longitude, seasons, and time zones on If I Were You, the only show where we put our hands in a puppet's ass.
I am the Tropic of Capricorn because I am a Capricorn, and you the Tropic of Cancer because you are a Cancer to this show. You ruin it all the time with the puppet's ass thing. What was that?
I was doing you a solid with a callback for one of your jokes.
You're back on the grid. You were off the grid for about a week. I haven't spoken to you in a week because you were, like you said, off the grid.
I left the grid.
What does that entail and how off the grid were you?
I was on an island in Maine called Vinyl Haven. It is
Vinyl.
Vinyl.
Vinyl Haven. Like vinyl?
No, it's V-I-N-A-L. I looked this up while I was there. It was just named for a guy that lived in the town named John Vinyl.
Okay.
And it's called Vinyl Haven. It's next to North Haven, which interestingly is the town in Connecticut, where I grew up. But it's North Haven is its own island in Maine. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. I think it's like a 5 or 6 or 7 hour drive to Rockland, Maine, and then an hour and 15 minute ferry out into like the Penobscot Bay in Maine. And I was dropped on an island.
When you arrived, did you say, "Ugh, we're vinyl-y here at long vinyl last"? Did you make jokes like that?
I forgot to do any vinyl jokes actually, and I
because you were off the grid.
Because I was off the grid. I didn't have to be on. I didn't have to like hit anyone with those zingers, those epic zingers that I'm sure the lobstermen have all heard already.
Yeah, because you're not like trying to entertain anyone. You're off the grid at this point. You don't need to be funny.
No. But I mean, we did a show there. I did a show. I did a solo show.
What?
3,000 people in a lobster boat.
No.
Yeah.
No way did you do that. That's improbable. There's no fucking way. There's not even 3,000 people on Vinyl Haven, did you say it was?
Yeah, I think maybe the year-round population is like 1,800 or something like that.
Okay, so you arrive to Vinyl Haven, you check your phone, no bars, some bars, but you're just trying not to look at it. Wi-Fi, no Wi-Fi.
There are bars. There were bars where, like, in town, and there were bars like even just like out on the bay. Like, you can on the boat the entire time I had service, and then on the island, we like drove for 20 minutes through Vinyl Haven and ended up on this even smaller island that you could take a bridge to, but it was called Dyer's Island. And on Dyer's Island, there's like 10 houses on it. And there, I sometimes had a single bar of service, and most of the time I had nothing.
And that's where you slept and hung out mostly?
Yeah, that's where we slept. That's where we hung out mostly. There were a couple of days where we like went out onto the water, where we like went on to some hikes. There was one hike where we went up and like at the top of the mountain, I just like started getting Slacks, texts, emails, all of them coming in. I instantly went on airplane mode. I'm like, no.
Finally, no. You're at the top of Wi-Fi Island. You can finally get all the alerts. Nice. Yes. That's that shit I'm talking about. You're back on the grid. Yeah. You can start saying shit like that.
No, it's true. Yeah. I wish I had that one liner or that zinger for the lobster boat. I feel like it would have killed.
So you get all these alerts and texts. Are you like, fuck, I can't look at this? Or you're like, all right, I'm back in my hut on the beach and I don't have service now, but at least I can see what I've missed. Or you're like, no, I'm trying to actively not see what I've missed.
Yeah, in that moment, I cleared everything and went on airplane mode. There were other times, like in the morning when I would go to town, I'd like see some stuff. I never responded to anything while I was there. Maybe like one or two Slack messages that you had sent or something. But for the most part, I like saw things come in, and I saw someone who I had asked to cover for me announce that they were covering, and something was handled. So I never ever looked at my phone. It was like, shit, I have to do something, you know?
Right. And then did you have like the anxiety of like, I'm checking my phone, even though I know there's no bars, like, let me just look at my phone. I'm like, oh shit, what am I doing? It's just a habit at this point.
No, there was no, I think like I had more of my anxiety leading up to that vacation. Cause I was like, I'm going to be unreachable. Like are people going to be mad at me? Or like, I don't know, what am I going to miss? I'm going to drop the ball on something. I like need to handle everything before I go, but there's too much to handle. But once I was there, once I was like, I think the last thing I did was like, I recorded a NADPOD on Friday night before I left. And when we were done, they were like, have a great vacation. And I was like, oh yeah. I'm like, everyone knows that I'm going off the grid.
Right.
And that's really nice. Cause I feel like this whole entire time has just been like, even when you're away, you're here, you're on the, everybody's around, everyone's around. You can't really take any time off. So this is the first time that I literally was just like, not just taking time off, but like unreachable. And it felt right. Really, really nice.
Did you have an auto response in your email?
I didn't, because I guess I kind of feel like most of the time no one is relying on solely me. Like sometimes people are waiting for me to say something or weigh in.
Right.
But they all knew those people you weren't knew I there. Was gone. Yeah. There wasn't anything, and nothing did come in that I was like, shit, I dropped the ball. I didn't respond to that.
What about news and stuff where you're like, I wonder what's going on in the world of politics? Did you check Twitter at night just to see if anything was on fire or a bomb had gone off somewhere?
I never looked at Twitter. There was a TV there that got cable. So I was able to like watch basketball, and I care about that.
That's cool. What games did you watch?
I watched the Clippers Nuggets game. I watched the OKC Houston game. That was pretty intense.
Oh, game 7?
Yeah.
The Lu Dort game.
Yeah, dude. I loved Dort. I really wanted him to win.
Yeah, so did I. Because now the Lakers have to play the Rockets instead of Lu Dort. And I would prefer to play Lu Dort.
That was like the one consolation that I felt when Lu Dort lost, because I was like, oh, well, at least I want to see the Lakers versus the Rockets, which has been, it's proven fun. You got it. Yeah. That's fun. That's fun to watch.
It's a good series, a clash of styles. So you get off the island, you're back on the grid. Are you like, this is a new me. I'm not going to do everything like I once was. I have to like to carry on the Zen energy from the off the grid onto the on grid. Are you like, all right, I got to fucking download everything twice as hard, refresh, reload, re-see everything that I missed.
It was a little bit of both, because I did have like one realization leading into the vacation, which was like, the more I try to stay on top of everything and like bat things away as they come in, because I like, I don't know, I place this weird importance on like a clean inbox and having nothing on my plate. But the more stuff you push off your plate, the more that starts coming in, because you're like, I don't know, I tend not to like say no to a bunch of stuff. So like everything that comes in, I treat as like a to-do list and like I get and I activate on it, right?
Yeah, so, like a red circle notification on a group text and you're like, shit, I better weigh in here or respond right. or do something.
Yeah. So, and a lot of the time when I respond, then that like sets something in motion where somebody does something and then I have to respond to that. And you just like get further and further along the road. So I was like, I'm going to like just try setting the pace more, because if I just like instantly respond to stuff that comes into my inbox because I want to get it out, then that just means that like I'm creating more work. So on one hand, I was like, I'm going to be more zen about my inbox. I'm going to let things sit in there, maybe find a way to organize it, whatever. In a way that doesn't make me like constantly have to react to things as soon as they come in. Then the other part of me was like really happy that I could like look at porn and have like full bars and be able to like spank my meat and stuff.
Yeah. Like, and then what about like Instagram or Twitter news or sports or
pop
culture? Did you like miss any of that or emails and stuff?
No, I was worried that I would miss any of the new releases porn-wise. Yeah.
No, I get that.
Because I didn't know
porn aside, like,
mofos, bang bros, like, brazzers.
Do you find yourself,
like new content, that new.
Pretend I wasn't talking about, like, let's take porn out of the equation. Do you think you're using your phone less since being back on the grid?
And or porn's not part of the equation?
No porn. I'm not talking about porn. I'm talking about phone. I'm talking about like just social media, I guess, in general.
I was not really, definitely not looking at Twitter. I just assume everything is bad all the time. And I've like, I look at Twitter maybe once or twice a day now to get a general sense of what's going on. Whereas before I was definitely looking at it nonstop. And Instagram I look at a couple times. Yeah. I don't think that's changed. But I don't have like the compulsion to like go through the entire feed. I kind of just like flip a couple times, see if anything interesting's happening, and then stop.
So overall you loved being off the grid, right?
I would say I entirely loved being off the grid. I don't think that it's like, I can't sustain that. That's not what I want. I don't want an off the grid lifestyle. And I'm like, damn, I wish I could just never have to deal with this. I like everything that we do, but I think I like learning a lesson while I'm off the grid and trying to apply it to just being able to relax on the grid.
So
an off grid lifestyle. There were definitely times where I like thought a lot about stuff that was happening back on the grid, not like through my phone, but I would just like think through stuff at work. You know, I would just like think about what I was going to do when we got back, or I'd have an idea where something we had talked about at the end of last week or something like that. I kept on trying to like remove myself from those thoughts and like place myself off the grid. I had like a visual of me being high up above Maine and like being dropped off like the little Google Maps guy, you know, where you like put him into Street View. I kept on imagining like being picked up out of the like the city, dragged all the way up to Maine and then like placed in the middle of the forest in the middle of an island and just being like, you're here right now.
Do you think you could have gone one more week, two more weeks, four more weeks off the grid? Or you're like, that was a solid amount of off grid time.
I think that like, I'm just like a part of too much stuff. So I like my pull to go back was more to be like a part of like the stuff that, that people depend, like to be there for the things that people depend on me to do. But I wasn't like, damn, I miss technology. I miss being connected. Like I could have, if everyone was like, Jake, we don't need you, you're fine, I could stay there for sure.
For months?
I think I could stay there for a month. I'd miss my family.
Yeah, you'd ideally like to take them all off the grid with you.
Right. If I just knew that they could come and visit every few weeks, I would never really have to leave. I could definitely be a compound guy. I could.
Oh, that's cool. Would you be fine if there was even less technology, like straight up off grid, like phone doesn't work, TV doesn't work for 2 weeks? Or is that too much off grid?
I could be there with, like, I don't know. TV was nice. It was really nice to have that respite. And we also like cooked tonight's dinner. I mean, we were like in a regular ass house. It wasn't like we were in a hut. I think right. I could do like camping off grid for maybe a week or two, but I don't think Jill could do it. She Jill doesn't like bugs. So it just wouldn't happen.
Right. I'm the same way. Like my camping is like after 2 days, I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm not sleeping well. I'm starting to really reek of shit. I could go for a shower in a normal bed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I think I could, I mean, I sleep better. Like when I slept in a van with my brother, like when we were hiking around in Washington State 2 summers ago, it was like the best sleep I ever got.
Because you were out in the sun all day.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
And then it may start, really just like well power too. Off. Yeah. Did the sun set really late there?
It didn't set much later than it has been here, like 7:15 it was going down.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's not like terribly far up the coast. It's like only 2 hours from Boston or something like that.
That's cool. All right, let's try to answer a question before break. You're back on the grid after all.
I'm back. Let's do it.
Hey Dudes writes, did you meet anybody over there? Does anybody have a name over there we can call this person as?
Oh yeah, you know, shout out to our skipper and buddy Travis.
Travis. Yeah. All right. The skipper and buddy Travis writes, last week my unemployed roommate threw out his back while lifting his TV. You can relate. Mm-hmm. He has terrible pain tolerance and has been laying in his bed to recover ever since. At first, he was just asking me to refill his water every now and then, but it's gotten to the point where he wants me to help him with leg stretching, and he's even gone as far to ask me to dump out his piss pitcher. That's right. He's been pissing into a Kool-Aid pitcher to avoid getting up to walk to the bathroom, even though he's been fully capable of strolling around the house once a day to try to get some movement in. His room stinks of human piss, and it's becoming unbearable to come home. He's running out of muscle relaxers, and I fear what happens after they're gone. I feel like this is the beginning of my 600-pound life episode. Help. Love, Travis.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Travis again. He's a better person than the guy that wrote this email. By the way, if you're ever in Maine and you need a taxi or a tour or a charter, Fox Island Charter, and I think his boat is called the Life Aquatic. I don't know. Check it out. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Would you throw out my piss, or would you be like, just go to the bathroom? This is ridiculous.
So I've been here.
You couldn't even go to the bathroom?
The last time I threw out my back, almost a year ago now, I think it was September of last year, and I was in such crippling pain that I couldn't even like stand, I couldn't even like kneel to go to the bathroom. All I could do is like turn. I was like laying in one position on the couch, and I could turn enough, rotate enough to lie on my side to piss into a bottle. And my sister Eliza was here because Jill was at work. This is when people went to offices. And my sister Eliza emptied my piss bottle for me. Love you, Eliza.
Wow. Wow. What a fucking sister. I would not touch my brother's piss bottles or my mother's or my father's yours or mine.
Yeah, you piss in a bottle even though your back is fine.
So what I'll do is I'll get a little lazy and I'll do the rotate, but I don't use a bottle. I just piss as close as I can towards the toilet.
That's right.
So I don't like, I don't have to get into a receptacle. I just have to aim my damnedest.
Mm-hmm. And you'll have someone mop that up if you miss, which you often do because you're pissing from the couch towards the toilet.
That's exactly right.
It's tough. I think you have to do it though. There's not really any other option.
Yeah. Like, you can't tell him no because you're sort of walking around and you're fine. I would wear gloves just to be safe, and then he'll sort of realize how much work you're putting in.
I mean, there's, speaking as someone who peed into a bottle and had someone that I loved empty the bottle out, and when I had to pee again, I would call for the bottle. So, like, your roommate doesn't like doing it. It's not like a weird power move. It's not like, I love pissing into a bottle and having someone empty it for me. That's not a good place to be. Your roommate's at the lowest point in their life. Like, when I did this, I felt like an invalid. I thought it sucked. I was really sad. I was despondent over it. I was like, I can't even stand up to piss. This isn't good. So at least you can put that in your heart and be like, they're going through a much harder time than me. All I have to do is empty the bottle. All I have to do is carry it to the bathroom and back. Yeah. They're the one that has to piss in it. And that's not fun.
Just hearing about this, I'm like, ooh, I hope my back never gives out. It sounds like the most, I guess it is, it's the most painful thing. It's a full body pain that limits your entire range of motion. You can't do anything.
It's, I think I've told this story on the podcast before, but like, it's all you can think about. I had pulled my back. I was in such bad pain. Like, I couldn't do anything. And my sister was like coming over to care for me. And I had to get up to unlock the door to let her in. And I walked from the couch. I like shuffled. It took me a minute to walk to the door. I opened the door and I started going back to the couch, and my entire body is just like seizing pain everywhere, blinding pain. And I'm like, I can't stand still because it just keeps on seizing and it keeps on hurt. Like, I'm like frozen, but I also can't get to the couch. I can't fall down, because if I fall down, it's the worst pain that will ever happen, like my entire body being jostled. So just like, absolutely just like standing in the middle of the living room paralyzed, having like a just back spasms. It's insane.
So I guess clean out this guy's piss, because what he's going through is worse than what you're going through.
Yeah. And when this is all over, it'll come back to you karmically, because he'll remember, as I remember, the person who emptied their piss bottles.
Yeah. Maybe like when he's feeling better, you can shit in a glass and then he has to sort of clean it out with his toothbrush or something to make it even, at least.
That's petty, but I like it, because it is, it's cosmically correct.
Yes, and overall, the universe is back to neutral when that happens.
Why don't you shit in the glass now, just so you'll have always, on the day.
Because you might sort of get scared and cowered out when it comes time to shit in the glass. So take out his piss, shit in the glass, wait for him to feel better, and kick his ass.
All right, solved.
Okay, let's take a break. Thank some sponsors. Come back with more questions and answers on the grid.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional-looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. It's they have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like,
interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's
nah.
It's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's that's a non-movement good. That's movement.
Is anti-movement yeah. one? Anti-movement seems
I'll
like
have
it should
to
be.
Check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't
yeah.
buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. But so
it's fitness
now.
Nah.
yeah, it's more of a yeah. fitness now nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough mm-hmm. is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% Ooh. Off their already low, low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for, and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
That's
need.
Amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on yeah. this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I
bark
was high.
Box. Yeah, bark
yeah,
box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, yes. dozens of them a month. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn.
And
I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. Congrats. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most
of it yours.
Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, mm-hmm. You can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rocket Money. And we are back. I guess today's unsolicited advice is to get off the grid every now and again.
If you can do it. If you can do it. Even if you have to do it from your home and just turn your phone off. Say you're going off the grid.
Wow.
That's a nice reset. It's a nice reset.
Wow.
Highly recommend.
All right, but for us, let's go back deeper into the grid. Another email we got from a college dude. We'll call him Colin Dude.
Cool. That's really cool.
I'm in a bit of a situation, writes Colin. I've been dating my girlfriend for about a year, and she's great, and we get along well. I came into a little bit of a dilemma yesterday. I was being a good boyfriend and bringing my girlfriend and her sorority sisters Starbucks for their entire online recruitment. I get to the apartment, knock on the door, and one of my old hookups answers. We both stare at each other for a few seconds. I hand her the coffee and say good luck and dip out of there. Turns out, this is one of my girlfriend's friends and sorority sisters. So, I'm a nice guy, but I did this hookup dirty. We banged hard a few times, then she caught feelings and I blocked her. She even tried to contact me on various platforms, and it only lasted a couple weeks, but I don't want this to come back and bite my relationship. Should I tell my girlfriend before she does, or just pretend I didn't mess with this girl's emotions? Love, Colin, Dude.
Ay, ay, ay. That's... Fuck you. But...
But now that that's done.
Now that that's over with and you've been chastised, I kind of feel like it's a little fucked up. But like if this girl's officially your girlfriend and she hears from some girl that you did dirty, like that's kind of fine for you because all that really shows is that your girlfriend is the one that like made you settle down, right? Like you could easily just be like, oh, yeah, I blocked Tiffany. I didn't like her. Like, I feel like people like talking shit about their friends that tried to date you and couldn't. Like, that
Yeah. I wonder if the girl will say anything. Do you think she'll say anything?
All you can do by bringing it up, I think, is shoot yourself in the foot. You can make something out of nothing. It might not ever happen. Maybe the thing to do is just not reach out to the girlfriend who knows none of this, but reach out to the girl who you wronged and try to clear the air there if you can. Say, hi, I know I was a shithead. You didn't deserve to be treated like that. I'm sorry. If there's anything,
let me take you out. Let me take you out to a nice glass of wine dinner.
Right.
Let me make you a chicken.
Hey, I'm sorry. Can I make you a chicken? I wasn't cool about that whole thing, and you deserve to have a fowl because I treated you foul.
A Cornish game hen for the games I played with you, hen. Is her name still hen? No, it's Molly. Well then, aren't I the
asshole? I was on Molly, which is why I don't remember well.
Maybe if this guy blocked this girl, he has to like write the message, like brings over another Starbucks, and it's like, this one's for you, this one's for you. And he holds it, and it says like, keep your mouth shut. This girl means so fucking much to me. You're not going to ruin it for me. And then and you give could, it to her.
And you could give your name as that at Starbucks, so then they write it on there for you. Like then
that's
they
good.
Would write everything. You just say like, be
and it's
quiet.
Not your handwriting.
Like, yeah, they say, what's your name? You say, oh, just write down on the cup. Don't say anything. Be quiet. You'll ruin this relationship. I'm a good guy now. I'm a good boy.
Yeah, and that way when you get caught and your girlfriend's like, what the hell is this message? You could be like, I did not write that. I think I said Colin. And they were like, you know how they mishear you and it's like this funny random thing you put on Instagram?
People post that on the story. Like I said, Colin, dude, I really did.
Yeah, and they wrote, leave me alone and I'm meaning too much to this girl for you to fuck it up now.
That'd be a really funny and dumb thing to do at Starbucks is when they ask you your name, just say your full name. You really don't need that.
Name is Amir, but you could call me Mr. Blumenfeld or whatever. Just write down, Dan is fine.
Can I get a name for that order? Fuck. Mr. Blumenfeld. So, so fucking ostentatious.
Austin Powers? No, ostentatious. Shit. All right. So you don't have to say anything because odds are she won't. And even if she does, then it's probably fine.
Yeah, there's a way to play it. But I'm not. I don't think you were good. But you know you were bad. You were bad.
You're a bad guy. Duh. Last question from another dude who's doing Muay Thai kickboxing.
Whoa. Let's call him Mo.
Mo Thai writes.
Mo Toy.
Mo Toy writes that I recently started doing Muay Thai kickboxing after watching Cobra Kai, and now I want to learn some kick-ass moves and get mad pussy. All right? There's this guy at my boxing gym who I always end up sparring with, and he's like a new me. Now, bear in mind that we do Muay Thai barefoot, and this guy's nails are freakishly long and dangerously sharp and serrated, so that every time he throws a kick at me, I'm blocking a knife, and I finish classes with open cuts. I was hoping that he'd eventually get the hint and cut his nails if I didn't say anything, but weeks have gone by, and he's still got these Wolverine feet claws. I'm starting to think it's like a fighting strategy he has. My question is, should I tell the guy to cut his nails, or is there like a more elegant way of saying this so I don't appear weak and afraid of this guy's nails? Plus, we're both new, and I don't want to be that guy who goes around telling people what they should do. I'm also curious about you guys, your guys' thoughts on martial arts in general, so any fight tips would be appreciated. Cheers from Australia.
All right, mate. Well, you got to, we'll tell you what, you've got to. I've never seen somebody that like fucking wants to do Muay Thai, Muay Thai, and is also so conflict averse. You're like kicking, punching, throwing, headlock, but you're afraid to like have a conversation with a guy. Like that's not.
I would tell on him. I would be like, I love this class, sensei, but there's like, it gets to the point where I'm like scratched up from this fucker.
Yeah. It's like, it's also kind of weird to be like, you get your ass kicked all the time in this class. You can't handle a nail scratch. That happens.
Have you ever done a class like this? Like even boxing, which I hear is a good workout, but
like, you see this?
Yeah. What's that? What is that? What? You learn that in a class? Oh, that's such poor form. Is that because the mic, the mic is in the way?
Yeah, the mic is blocking it.
What's that? No. It looks... What, did you take like a karate class in first grade? Are you okay? You look like you're in pain, but I haven't done anything. How are you losing to a computer? What is that?
Gah!
What did you take martial arts wise? What was that?
I did jujitsu and Christian jitsu.
You think that jujitsu is a Jewish martial art, and then you're also half taking a Christian version of jitsu?
I was raised interfaith, so I did jujitsu on my dad's side, Christian jitsu on my mom's.
I fear to ask, but what's the difference between the two martial arts?
You wear a kippah during jujitsu.
That's the only difference, just what you wear.
That is the only difference.
And in terms of your gi?
And most people, the gi is the same. Most people doing jujitsu are circumcised as well.
Most. And you find that out in combat. Oh! Bing, bing, bing. That's the foreskin. You're playing like a fucking banjo in Christian jitsu.
No, don't knock Christian jitsu. Please.
You obviously have not done any of this.
So I think what you have to do is say to the guy, you got to do it while you're bleeding. You have to be like, hey, I got this cut. I think you got to cut your nails. Super casual. That's all.
And it's, I not keep them long so I can slice you.
Yeah.
Oh, fucker. Now I need stitches. Yeah, it seems like that's, you got to go to the teacher for that. You don't have to tell him. You can be like, hey, this guy keeps cutting me. Mm-hmm. I know I feel weird blaming him, but like, he really is slicing and dicing my shin. I don't know what to do.
I guess it'd be, well, and that's the other thing, that if he's doing it to you, then he's doing it to other people as well when you're not sparring with him. So
yeah,
do it for the greater good.
I'm fine bleeding. Yeah, I'm fine bleeding. Like, this is whatever for me, just like pouring blood out. I'm just worried that when you spar with somebody else,
you're fainting.
I'm just lightheaded as all, because you keep cutting me, man. I don't know how else to say it. Yeah, I guess you got to work on your blocking.
I feel like, and you're also, when you're saying that he's doing this as like a fight strategy, that's like inventing a reason not to talk to him. Like, it's not, I think you're just afraid to have the conversation, which is fine, but it's easy. It's an easy one. You can do it. I know it.
Yeah. It's funny because, yeah, like you said, this is a whole combat class and he's afraid of using his words at all. But I guess that's why he's in Muay Thai. You can just let your fucking fists do the talking.
No, you want to be using Muay Thai in self-defense when your words have been exhausted. When words fail, that's when you enter the domain of Muay Thai.
You don't know what you're doing. What if you try to slice him mid-fight? So, like, you have to fight fire with fire. So you have a little nail clipper. He goes to kick you, and it's, like, slow motion. Nail clipper. Bing, 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 bing. And then by the time he, like, finishes his kick, his nails are completely off.
That's cool. Like, slow motion style. The other option is that you could grow your nails a little longer, file them into real points, you know, like... You can only fight fire with fire. You can only fight nails with nails. You can become the Wolverine that you've been waiting for.
Edward Scissorhands style. So like, yeah, like a bunch of fucking like that. And then he, by the time the fight's over, he had a mani-pedi and he had no fucking idea.
Yeah.
That's really cool. There you go. All right. I think I'll sign up for martial arts.
Would you, I mean, now it's too late, but like, would you consider learning a martial art?
It's never too late.
Oh, I meant it's too late because like classes, they're not going to. I no. just mean, like, because of the pandemic, they're not like.
No, you did not mean that. You meant that I am an old and feeble fighter, and I take grave offense to that. In fact, I challenge you to a sparring match. UFC, we'll meet halfway in the middle, somewhere in Kansas. We'll settle this in the octagon. You choose your method of combat, I choose mine.
Okay. I'll really? Choose. You're so quick to back down.
I thought I could sort of intimidate you verbally to the point where you would back down. And then
I would
be like, wow, you're too afraid to fucking fight me. I thought
You still might be able to. Why? Like, you instantly gave up, right? Like, I said okay, and then I was going to talk about my weapon, and then you could have talked about...
Now my throat hurts.
Right? You're a coward. You're a craven lunatic.
Don't touch me. Please don't hit me. Don't hurt me.
We're not even... It's a Zoom. I can't touch you. Look, this is as close as I could get to your face.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm calling 911.
I can't unlock my phone because my hands are too clammy. No.
I'm just sliding over the swipe button. It's not doing anything.
It's so sweaty.
There's too much moisture. God damn it. All right, cool. Well, listen, good luck.
Yeah.
Tell on that guy. He'll have to cut his fingers, whether you say so or your sensei does.
It's kind of fucked up to tell. Yeah. I think you can talk to him in person. IRL. Just be like, hey, look what you did to my arm. Cut your toenails. Bye. That's it.
Oh, that's cool. While you're walking away. Mm-hmm. I guess it's not a sensei in Muay Thai. Oh, maybe it is. Oh, we'll do sensei? Yeah, sensei. I don't know. The teacher.
Yeah, tune in next week where we only talk about mixed martial arts, okay?
That's cool.
That's our other podcast.
A UFC fight cast starring me. All right, cool. Thanks for sending in your questions. Theme songs, obviously that opening one was such a hit by Jay. Should we play it again? Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Yes.
Let's play it again since it was good. It would be a shame if it only existed once. If you want more of us, we're on the HeadGum Podcast a bunch on the HeadGum Network. We also have a Patreon where we're doing bonus videos every week. Our Patreon is blowing up, so hop on there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the beginning of the month, so now's the time to sign up because you get a whole month for just $4.99.
And there's never been more content on the Patreon than there is right now. It's maxed out.
Over 200 videos, both seasons of Lonely and Horny. My speech at your wedding. We've got it all on there. So yes. Check it out. All right. And we'll be back, as always, next week. Thanks for listening. Oh, yeah. Our email address is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Okay. Right. Again, Jay with the Avenue Q theme song to play us out of here. Bye, everybody.
If I were you, and I felt blue, I'd listen to a show by two coy Jews. Need some advice? Just ask these guys, Jake and Amir Valbloom. If I were you, but I'm not you.
Topless pick for this thick dick makes the chicks... Why?
If you were me,
holy shit,
you probably get the turdy. So listen here closely. If I were you,
red light,
I'd listen to the dang best HeadGum crew, Jeff and Riley's review.
Oh wait, I mean Nemo.
A Game Boy and his furry friend.
A cute little chipmunk, eh?
Congratulations to Jake on his 1,000th golden mic.
You really earned this one, Josh. Good on your mic.
If I were you and I felt blue, I'd listen to
Jake and a Bear Schmoo Bloom. They give advice, whether they're wrong or right. Whether you're straight, bi, queer, or gay, they'll tell you it's okay. Don't kill yourself in a cafe. Here comes that Janice play. If I were you, ass.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.